It is Tuesday, September 5th, 2017, 8:39 in the morning. I'm on my prayer walk, been praying to the Lord, and I've just really been feeling very anxious this morning. I had a lot of anxiety in my heart. I'm like, God, how do I do this? How do I move forward in what you've called me to do? Do I just assert my spiritual authority that the authority that Persis does not recognize that a husband has over his wife? I don't want to do something that's unloving to her. I don't want to intentionally, you know, put her in a compromising situation. But I also said, Lord, I also realize that doing the thing you fear makes the death of fear certain. So I've asked him, you know, like, is this a good thing for me to possibly go and do, and you're going to use this in her life? And I've also just asked God for, please, Lord, the wisdom. I don't want to fall into any of the devil's traps doing this. I really want God to lead me and guide me in this. I am really just believing that perhaps I have to move forward, and then God will bring these walls down in Persis's heart. But that until I move forward, those walls are going to stand. I mean, I think perhaps I'd be like standing at the edge of the Jordan saying, okay, Lord, as soon as you part it, then I'll walk into it. Rather than everything God has done in my life, he's asked me to move forward, and then he makes the way. And I just read about the walls of Jericho this morning, about the great shout of faith that came, rather than the wavering, moaning, and complaining faith. Doubting faith, wavering faith. And, perhaps that's what this is about, is that I need to move forward. The thing is, I haven't heard really clear from God, like with any numbers or scriptures, that I need to move forward on this. I've been seeing 951 a few times. I saw it the other night, and 855 right now. And that's that scripture that, move forward in spite of opposition. And I thought that was in regards to my writing, because like even Persis has stood against my writing. She's not like standing there going, don't do this, but like with her attitude towards it, you know? And then the fact that I'm telling our marriage story, I mean, she's really been, it's amazing. She's stood against it all, but she's not doing it in a hateful way. Praise God. I am so thankful. And I'm filled with love in my heart for every day. I love being around her. We're having a fantastic relationship. But we have this really unique challenge that requires God's wisdom and is requiring both of us to deny self a little bit. But basically, I think if it was up to my wife, I seem to gather from a conversation we had the other night, we'd pull the plug on the ministry and both of us just go get jobs. And that's the devil speaking. That's the devil taking my wife captive. And I don't hate her for it. I don't look down upon her. I don't despise her or resent her for it. And I've been praying, God, please protect my heart. But to have a wife who comes in this late in the game, who was not here for all the hours and days and weeks and months and years you spent toiling putting this spiritual seed in the ground, who shows up the year the harvest comes and then says, oh, this is all for naught. You're wasting your time. You're going to create a bunch of tares, basically. I was just like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. So I've been having doubts. The devil's been wearing me out. I've had sharp arrows coming in. Maybe you are wasting your time. Maybe you are trying to lead followers astray. Maybe you are trying to get people to follow you. Maybe you are. Another guy who sent me an email from Australia. I told Persis, I said, Persis, you sound exactly like this guy from Australia who spoke to me in first person as if he were Jesus Christ telling me he's displeased with me. I'm leading people away from God and to myself. I could not believe what I was hearing. So this is all the kind of thing that's been going on. And I'm really been just trying to make sense of it all and really wait upon God. But I want to capture these doubts, you know, that have come in. Yeah, maybe you're not doing something right. Maybe you are getting ahead of God. Maybe, and I'm going, no way. And this is what brings me to probably one of the most important points that I could make about all this. Good morning. Is Jesus Christ taught you shall know a tree by its fruit. And when I have had these terribly big, gigantic nuclear missiles of doubt fired at me in any way, whether it be through other people, my mom, deep men in the Bible study, I've named them all, my ex-wife, everything. The thing that I have to trust in when all of the circumstances are gone is, number one, God's word and his faithfulness. And number two, Jesus said, you'll know a tree by its fruit. So I'm able to look at my tree, both the tree in my heart, I'm able to look at my life and go, wow, I am substantially different human being than I was all those years ago. I'm not like me anymore. I don't have any desire for money or things in the world. I'm consumed with how to help God's people, not with how to build my life here. I give so little thought to my life here, things get neglected regularly because I'm like wanting to get out of this life. That's completely different than who I used to be. So that's a fruit in my heart. And then the desire to love other people, to correct them. I'm not the most gentle, kind little, oh, I'm so sorry you hurt your toe. That's not my personality. That's not my gifting. I'm like, hey, do you want to know God? Are you sick and tired of living like you look like your life is under a curse? Okay, here's how I found God in fullness. Now, come on, follow me as I follow Christ. All right, let me give you an example. This is what I'm called to do. And then I look at what that's producing, the seed that I've been putting in the ground. It's producing people who are looking more like and walking more like Jesus Christ. So for persons to then say that I'm basically wasting my time and producing tares, what a gigantic nuclear missile from my own wife into my heart. And what I keep doing is I just have to go back. You shall know a tree by its fruit. Even John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were called these terrible names, but Jesus said, wisdom is proved right by her children, by her actions. In other words, by the fruit that comes off of her life. When you look at what are the actions of that person's life, you can to know whether or not that person is right or wrong. So this has been a really, really surprising journey. I'm not surprised. I know God is allowing this to happen so that I can become more strong. I've had, you know, there's fears that I have of disappointing persons, hurting her feelings and stuff like that. And I have to, as she even says, why don't worry about my honor. Don't try to seek honor from me. But as a man, you want to be respected by your wife. It's hard for a wife to understand that. But I've died to it. I'm now living with a woman who thinks what I'm doing is a complete waste. And I haven't stopped doing it. In fact, I've increased. And I'm getting ready to go in, take my shower, get in front of my writing, and start writing. So I'm moving forward in faith in spite of opposition. And I'm trusting that when God wills it, these walls will fall. And that at the end of it, I will be more like Jesus Christ as a result. I'll have a stronger faith. And there'll be even richer blessings that come out of it. And also the last really been several weeks where I've been off and feeling faithish inside and feeling the joy in the presence of the Lord. It's been off. I haven't felt bad. I haven't felt dark. I just haven't felt that strong like presence of God every day like I've been wanting to. And I've just said, okay, Lord, I'm back to walking by faith, not by feeling. I know you'll keep me and I keep moving forward in faith. No matter what. And I praise God for that. That's the most important thing, that in spite of what I'm feeling, I'm still moving forward. And I've been waking up every morning and it's felt like, you know, I'm having to work up. Like, I need to go pray. I need to work up the presence of the Holy Spirit. I need to, and I can't do that. And it's just like God's telling me, just finish the work. It's like everything is about me just doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm having a really difficult time writing this book. It's a huge mountain to chew, to huge elephant to bite off. And I'm moving forward as best I can. And one day at a time, and I'm probably not doing it as good as I should, and there's probably leaving out details and adding too many details, but nevertheless, it's an imperfect work, but if God blesses it, it'll be anointed. And so I'm going to keep doing that today. Fighting through the pain in my neck and shoulders as I continue to write and just trusting God to bring the grace. But yeah, it's definitely a tough time. I love Persis very much, but it is definitely difficult. trying to work out our differences. But overall, I told her yesterday, this is the thing that's important for me to add, is that I told her yesterday, I said, man, this is really, we're doing a really good job with God's help. I said, look at this. I mean, we think so differently. And I said, yet we're still so in love and we love being around each other. But here's the big but. I told her, I said, yesterday morning I was praying, God, please let Persis and I have spiritual unity again so that we can talk about you more, because that's all I want to talk about is God. And we're getting along really well because we're not talking about God so much. That is unfortunately the truth, because we have such differences on these things. I mean, we couldn't be more different except for if you took Jesus out of it, one of our lives. Right now, for her to believe what she believes and for I to believe, she believes it's entirely up to God, and I believe it's entirely up to both of us. Meaning, man has a responsibility. She's starting to go down the Calvinistic route that, you know, you can't resist God's grace, and, you know, it's hard. That is difficult for me to live with and to figure out. It's not difficult for me to live with. It's difficult for me to enjoy spiritual conversation with her. I can't. Because she'll say things and I'm going, wow, it's coming out of her paradigm. She has a paradigm that's different than mine, and mine's different than hers. And so there, we are not coming from the same paradigm. And so we're coming to different conclusions. And a prophet has no honor in his own hometown. If that's not true in my house, it's not true anywhere. I tell you, I am not going to be able to be the one that's going to change her paradigm. All right, I'm going to end it now. I'm home. Good morning, sweetheart. Today is September 14th, 2017. And I'm up on the mountain. I gave you some good kisses and hugs this morning in bed before I came up here, and been enjoying some wonderful time in prayer. And I want to record a message. It's kind of weird, I know it seems, but I want to record a message that I'm not going to give to you for a while, until I really believe God would have me give it to you. And I'm going to pray that I don't even need to give it to you. But I want to share something with you that I'm observing as your husband, as your spiritual head, as the Bible says. I know that you don't like that idea, and that's why I'm not sharing this with you now. And I know that you're very sensitive when I try to correct you, and you see it as me trying to change you, and I'm in agreement with you that I cannot change you. And only God can do that. And just like you can't change me, only God can change me. But I've been asking God for wisdom on how to deal with this when I see you headed what I believe is in not so good of a direction and making not so wise choices and potentially beginning to drift away from the Spirit of Christ and the heart of the Father in some things. How do I, if I see these things, am I not guilty if I don't say something? And yet, if I say something, I'm guilty and it creates animosity between us. So I'm taking a new approach here with God's help. And I just want to record this, and at the appropriate time, perhaps I'll share it with you, and may God give you ears to hear and to see this. But I want to just basically tell you that I'm concerned about, ever since you kind of came to this idea that you have fullness in Christ, the kingdom of God is here, perfection has already come, I've noticed that you've stopped reading the Word as much as you were. And I've just asked you last night, you know, hey, I've noticed, you know, you're not reading the Word so much every day. And I said, you know, what's kind of going on with that? And that's when you said, you feel now is the time to practice it. I've been learning a lot, and now it's time to practice it. And yet, what I'm seeing you practice contradicts what I see in the Word of God. I want to show you how I believe that very quickly you can begin to drift away by not staying in the Word of God every day, not just so that you can keep learning more and more and not doing, but so that you can keep your mind renewed and you can keep your spiritual compass calibrated on true north with the help of the Holy Spirit by feeding on God's Word. And I feel like your compass is starting to point in a different direction. But again, I'm not going to say anything to you because you won't be able to hear it now. I didn't say anything the other night. But when you speak about practicing what you've been learning, what I'm seeing in your life, not anything crazy or extreme, but the devil is always subtle in how he gets us off. But what I've noticed is you've been listening to this secular Indian music like every day. You used to listen to it every once in a while, and now it's been that almost every morning I come in, you're listening to this, and it's that very poppy sounding, probably very sensual sounding music. I'm seeing you watching the movie clips from India, and then I'm also noticing like you're watching a lot more of movies. You started watching them like during the day and all that, and I'm going, wow, okay. So that's not practicing, in my opinion. That's not practicing what you've been hearing, and you're starting to fill your mind with more and more godless things. And you might think, but I'm godly and that's okay. But the Bible contradicts that. The Bible says avoid those who participate in godless chatter, because by doing so they become more and more ungodly. So what I see happening is you're allowing more and more secular, like I say, music and movies. And then last night, what really caught my spirit, I discerned this, was we were watching that movie called I don't remember. It was the one with Pierce Brosnan. It looked like a 007 movie. And when it showed this inappropriate, almost sex scene, two times I covered your eyes. And the second time I did and looked at you and covered, you know, put my hand in front of your eyes, you said, hey, I'm okay. I'm a big girl. I can watch this now. And I thought to myself, what in the world? Now, you might be thinking to yourself, well, you were getting frustrated from me putting my hand over your eyes. But now let me ask you this question. Who was it that started doing that? Who used to always put your hand over my eyes when one of those scenes would come up? You. And you wouldn't hide your own eyes. You were trying to hide mine. And that's when I joined in on you and started hiding together. And we learned this habit of when one of those scenes comes in, we look at each other and hide our eyes. But last night, you seemed to almost rebel against that. Like somehow or another, it's okay for you to watch a steamy sex scene between two people now because you're an adult or something. I don't know what you were thinking, but I was really disturbed by that. You went from being the girl who would hide my eyes. Now, you know, I feel like you're almost going from one extreme to the other, the extreme of where you lived hiding your eyes your whole life, and now you're kind of like going the opposite extreme, and you're starting to open yourself up to more things that I don't feel are becoming of a Christ follower, and things I would be embarrassed to watch if Jesus were sitting with me. Okay? And, you know, I have joined you in really the only thing that we can do fellowship so much together is watching these kind of, you know, spy movies or sci-fi technology type movies that you're interested in. And I've been struggling with that all the time, but yet I continue in the evening time, say, okay, I've done my work for the day. I've served the people, and I'm at that time of the day where my brain can't be used for anything else. And if I read, I'll go to sleep in 5 minutes. So I watch these movies with you and try to, you know, find things that I can think through or understand about men and evil, or use in an illustration or what have you. But I just want you to know that I see you going in a more secular direction, and it's really sad to me. However, I trust God. That's why I'm not going to say anything to you. I've already prayed about it this morning. And I trust God with you, and I know perhaps you're going through a season and you're probably still trying to figure out a bunch of things. Okay, but I just want you to know, in case it gets worse and you start heading down a road where I start seeing more and more fruit like this, where you're looking more interested in the secular. You know, baby, you have nobody in your life that can be a model for you with the exception of me, and you just think that you and I are so different that you get to have your own way, which is true in a lot of ways, but at some levels we are all called to participate in certain fundamental characters of Christ and of the Christian faith. So anyhow, baby, I love you, And I'm trusting God. I just wanted to record this for you to consider that you're saying and claiming that you have perfection in Christ, the kingdom of God, and perfection has come. And yet, shortly after you said that, I see you going more and more towards secular stuff. That does not make sense. That's a complete contradiction of the Spirit of God in many ways. Okay, especially what I saw last night where, again, I was shocked to see you say, no, I can watch this. That just does not seem right. But I'm trusting God for your heart and for the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. I love you.